Welcome back to the Red Zone on Calm Radio, the only show guaranteed to put hair on your chest, and that is something to be desired for manly men. We are now talking injuries. This is our injury report of this show, this 1 hour and 30 minute extravaganza, the sending off of John Walk into the world. But right now, we're going to talk about the man crush of most men in the most men over 35. That's Brett Favre. Brett Favre now
is
informed.
An unbelievable player. I mean, you know the great gods. You know, he's one step above that. I mean, you could clone Brett Favre and put him in all the positions on the field, and then you played against another team of clone Brett Favres.
Right.
I mean, the universe would explode. I mean,
I just had to play that.
It never gets old. Anyway, so about Brett Favre's ankle. Apparently he needs surgery on that, John. You want to fill us in on the details?
Yeah, Brett Favre, he's been informed that he requires surgery on his left ankle as to whether or not he wants to play this season, and he told ESPN that just a few years ago. Now, he has a 19-year NFL career. We don't know if he's coming back or if he is retiring, but apparently this ankle surgery, he suffered it 3 months ago in the NFC Championship game against the New Orleans Saints. Where he did that, that's right, through that interception, and the Saints went away and
probably
went to the Super Bowl.
Probably the most awful pass I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, but it pretty much wraps up at least the last 3 or 4 year career of Brett Favre and the ending of every single NFL season. But apparently he's told ESPN that his ankle is swollen and painful. Now, we don't know all the details as to yet because this story just broke. So it's going to be interesting. What I want to know, if he gets the surgery, is he going to be out for a full year, or is it something that can he come back in a few weeks? Can he rehab it over a few months and maybe be back by the start of the NFL season? But the thing, while we're just talking about it, break, if Brett Favre knew that he had this injury that he suffered in the New Orleans Saints game, why didn't he have it taken care of a few months ago? He would be back already. He'd be able to rehab it, and he'd be good to go. I don't get why he waits until right after the draft to tell us this.
Because he's sneaky. He doesn't want... Remember, this is the guy that doesn't want to go to camp because the beds are uncomfortable. Yeah, he's gonna hobble around a couple months so that when he gets surgery, it'll be like, oh, I can't practice. I'm rehabbing my ankle. No, I'll start at the beginning of the year. Don't worry. I'm going to start at the beginning of the year. But I'm not going to go to training camp. Who gives a crap about training camp? OTAs?
What?
I'm Brett Favre. I don't need off-season training.
So he waits until the Friday after the NFL draft to come out and say this. Had he said it before the start of the NFL draft, do you think maybe Minnesota maybe would have used their first or second round pick to go for a quarterback?
I don't know.
Really?
No.
Because they had the number 30 overall pick in the first round, and Jimmy Clausen was just sitting there.
Yeah, but it goes back to whether you like Jimmy Clausen or not. If they really liked Jimmy Clausen, they would have taken Jimmy Clausen. That irrespective of what Brett Favre does. Because Jimmy Clausen is not going to start this year if Brett Favre is on the team. And Brad Childress is in love with Brett Favre.
Well, what if they say, hey, Brett Favre, he's getting ankle surgery. We don't know if he's going to be 100% healthy or not. You honestly are going to sit here and tell me that they're not either going to take Jimmy Clausen or Colt McCoy, knowing that Brett Favre has an ankle injury and is getting surgery.
If you don't think Jimmy Clausen is your quarterback of the future, and I don't think Minnesota was sold on that, they're not going to take him. Yeah, you looking free agency, maybe? I'm not sure. Maybe they really think Tavares Jackson is the solution. Either way, I don't think it had any bearing whatsoever what Brett Favre did, because what he does at this point, it doesn't matter. If you take Jimmy Clausen in the second round, even, they traded back. They still could have gotten Jimmy Clausen trading back after Detroit traded up for Jahvid Best. You can get him then. A second-round quarterback, Drew Brees was a second-round quarterback, and he was easily thrown away by the San Diego Chargers when they drafted Phillip Rivers. Because it's not as much of an economical or respect and prestige sort of there's no stock in it because it's a second-round draft pick. The pressure and the value is not as high. You can take Jimmy Clausen and say, okay, Brett Favre, even if you do come back, he's going to sit here and wait a couple years because you are the guy. And he's always been the guy. So I don't think this had anything to do with Brett Favre. I think it had more to do with Jimmy Clausen than it did Brett Favre. Now, Brett Favre, this is really weird that he would come out and tells him now. I agree. But at the same time, it makes sense. It's about par for the course with Brett Favre.
It is. And it's just one thing, at least within these last 3 years, that Brett Favre really kind of gets on my nerves when it comes to the offseason. I love watching him during the regular season, but when it comes to the offseason, we see him come in and do things like this and wait until after the NFL draft to come out and says, hey, I need ankle surgery, and that's probably why I'm not going to be in training camp. Now, Chili, Brad Childress, he probably wouldn't have
I like that.
He probably wouldn't have cared either way.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't care. Brett Favre can do whatever he wants, and he's set.
Quickly, while we're talking about the Vikings, and with their two of second-round picks at number 19 in the second round, number 51 overall, the Minnesota Vikings traded up, got a pick from the Houston Texans. At the number 51 overall pick, they selected running back Toby Gerhart out of Stanford. Now, he will go alongside Adrian Peterson. Is that maybe, I guess, doubting the abilities in Peterson? He's had fumble problems. He's had an injury problem. Ever since, I mean, the, what, 08-09 season, he dominated that, came back in 09-10. He wasn't the same player. He wasn't that same knockdown guy that pretty much no one could stop.
I don't see any degrading of Adrian Peterson's skills. I think it might have to do more with the fact that they went under Brett Favre into a passing offense. Yeah, I saw a miraculous change in that offense where Percy Harvin is now the focus weapon on that team instead of Adrian Peterson. I still see Adrian Peterson as a viable back. The other thing is the offensive line. There have been questions about their desire and their run back blocking skills. Bryant McKinney is a head case. I mean, we've known that for a while. Yeah. So you have to see, it's not just one guy. He can't do it all on his own. And if he's not being given the ball, he can't really do a whole lot. As far as what Toby Gerhart brings, he is just going to be the number two back, the guy that comes in and spells Adrian Peterson. And I want to say this. This is the scariest backfield I've seen in a while, just as far as for an intimidation factor. You've got Adrian Peterson, who can either run around you, jump over you, or run through you. Now you've got Toby Gerhart, who is just going to run through you. I would not want to be on defense going against 6'2" and 31 pound Toby Gerhart and Adrian Peterson, who reminds me of just something. He's just a very angry man when he runs.
Yeah, plus you had the wide receiver Sidney Rice and who's the other one that they took out of Florida from
Percy
last
Harvin.
Year? Percy Harvin. That's a team with so many weapons surrounding
Will they
Brett
have a quarterback,
Favre.
Though?
I don't blame Brett Favre if he's going to come back again, because if there's a team in the NFL, that would be it. I mean, you have an all-pro running back now. One last thing on the Vikings. Possibly quarterback of the future, Joe Webb, taken in the sixth round, pick 199 overall, quarterback out of UAB, apparently 6'3", 223 pounds. Could he be the future of the Minnesota Vikings?
I don't know. There's one thing I want to get to, and it has to do with our next topic, is the Cowboys wide receiver Patrick Creighton. Now, this guy, I like this guy just because he provides me with some comedic relief. Patrick Creighton has halted workouts and wants to be traded. I ask again, who is Patrick Creighton? This guy, I love people that have confidence in themselves, but apparently he thinks that he's some sort of like top-flight wide receiver. The Cowboys have been trying to replace this guy since they drafted him.
Yeah,
I just, it's hilarious. He's like, he's demanding trades. He's angry about being benched. He's mad that Wade Phillips didn't come to him and tell him that he was going to be benched. Dude, you're barely getting on the field. You are not. You're not Andre Johnson, big guy.
If anything, it would be Roy Williams that should be coming out and saying, hey, I want to be traded, because he actually has a starting gig and should be considered a really good player, being taken as a top three draft pick in his career.
Yeah.
And Patrick Creighton, he's a guy that's, what, 3 or 4 years in the league now. I'm trying to look up his stats as we're talking about this. as I'm looking at it, yeah, here we go. All right, so he's, what, 31 years old, and he has 30, okay, career reset, or no, stats from last year, 2009. 37 receptions, 622 yards, 5 touchdowns, average 16 yards per catch. This is a guy that I think he has a little bit of merit in saying, hey, maybe I want to be traded. What if he goes to a team that makes him a number two wide receiver? Do you see him possibly having those abilities and being able to handle number two or three duties? Maybe he's just not getting a chance because he has now Dez Bryant, Roy Williams,
Miles Austin.
He has those guys in front of him, and he's not getting playing time.
You know, he did a little better than I'd assumed. I assumed he was around 500 yards, so he's about where I thought he was. But as far as the level of importance on that team, He was replaced by Miles Austin, who came out of nowhere. Now, Miles Austin is a great player, and he was explosive and a great story. But Patrick Creighton, if you're so easily replaced, how can you demand a trade?
Yeah.
It's not like you had a high value to begin with.
The funny thing is I'm looking at his numbers right now. He spent 7 years in the league so far. He's from Northwestern Oklahoma State. That's crazy. So I don't see why he has any merit. Maybe if he went to Texas, I don't know. Well, I guess if he goes to a bigger name college, he gets more merit. But
no.
His best year was in 2007. He had 50 catches, which is 13 more than he had last year. But he only had 697 yards, which is only 50 more yards than he had all of last year. I don't see his numbers pretty much gaining any merit as to him being able to come out and say, hey, I want to be traded. But
I feel like if he held a press conference, the only person there would be his mom. That's about it. I don't think ESPN would cover that.
You don't think it'd be like the Tiger Woods thing with him?
No.
Maybe he'd have a scripted thing. Quickly, before we go to a quick rest here, Denver Broncos Pro Bowl offensive tackle earlier this week on Monday, Ryan Clady, tore his patella tendon, on Wednesday, playing basketball, according to NFL.com's Jason Lockhanfora. Multiple league sources have told Lockhanfora that Clady is expected to miss an extended period of time. Apparently, Clady will be back for, I guess,
right before
the start of the NFL season. But given that, I mean, with this injury, yeah, he can come back. He'll be fully healthy by that point. But that means he's going to miss all of training camp and being healthy and being able to weight train and being able to work out
yep.
and condition. And you can't just come back in the first or second week in the NFL without having that type of conditioning. So here's a Pro Bowl offensive tackle. You just drafted Tim Tebow. You got rid of Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall. Now you have Ryan Clady. He's probably going to be out probably for the first, I would say, 3 or 4 weeks from the start of the season until he's going to be back to full strength.
Yeah, that's another hole they're going to have to fill. And that stinks for him and for the Broncos, because that's one of those things that's like, you just don't see it coming. And it's just unfortunate. I mean, I don't have anything against the Broncos. I wish Ryan Clady the best. But this is going to come down, like you said, you're giving these guys $20 million. Where is the line? Is he not allowed to play basketball anymore? Is he not allowed to exercise in the offseason and have fun? A lot of guys, Kellen Winslow Jr., is he not allowed to ride a motorcycle anymore? Is Ben Roethlisberger not allowed to go to a club anymore?
it's interesting. I mean, you have all these things. I mean, players, obviously, during the offseason, they can do whatever they want as long as it doesn't hurt them. It's probably in his contract somewhere. So it'll be interesting if the Broncos come out and maybe fine him a certain amount of money for getting injured by playing a sport not related to football, not even weight training. But who knows? We'll have to figure out how that affects this team at the start of the next season. But when we come back, we have a lot of more things to get to that, I guess, recently within these last couple days have happened. Where is free agent Pro Bowl safety Darren Sharper going to land? And is Kevin Cobb getting paid too much with his new extension? That's next. It's the Red Zone on Comm Radio.
You're listening to the Red Zone on Comm Radio. Now back to your two hosts, John Walk and Thomas Frank Carr.
Welcome back to the only show on Comm Radio to win a Nobel Prize. It was in irrelevancy, but that does not matter. And if you'd like to chime in and talk to us about anything that we're talking about today on the Red Zone, just send us an email at theredzonetoday@yahoo.com. R-E-D-Z-O-N-E, today@yahoo.com. I'm not going to spell it today, because if you can't spell it today, you probably don't know what email is. Anyway, we are talking about the Philadelphia Eagles right now. We have Kevin Cobb, who just got a 1-year extension from the Philadelphia Eagles for $12.5 million. Now, John, you brought up, is this too much money for a guy who started around the over-under, I believe, is 10 games in his career? He's going to get a huge pay increase. In an uncapped year, I can see, you know, it doesn't matter as much. But, John, I don't think that you're wholly on board with this. Tell me why.
I'm not, because Kevin Cobb, here's a guy who made, what, 2 or 3 starts last season, maybe 2 or 3 starts all of his NFL career, and you're going to be giving him $12.5 million? Yeah, and that's probably what he was thinking when he first got that extension. Now, it's only for 1 year.
I think he was thinking, I'm going to need a bigger checkbook.
Yeah, now it's only
gonna
for 1 year.
Going to buy a second wallet.
It's going to keep him around through the 2011 season, which is good. It's not like they're saying, hey, here's $100 million over the next 8 years. You're our franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
It's saying, here's an extension through 2011. So he has this upcoming season and the following season to prove himself as that starting quarterback for that franchise. And if he doesn't do a good job, then they kick him out the door after 2011 season because his contract will be up. Now, Donovan McNabb, yeah, the Eagles are known to give contract extensions. I mean, McNabb got probably, what, 3 or 4 extensions during his career while he was with Philadelphia, but it was while he was proving himself. Kevin Cobb, what has the guy done for you?
Well, he's won 4 games, I think.
Yeah, the one last year he played against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Who won, what, like 3 games last season?
Yeah, but at the same time, he fits what Andy Reid wants at quarterback. He wants a system quarterback, and this guy fits in Andy Reid's system. So Andy Reid is showing his confidence in Kevin Cobb with this. He really believes that Kevin Cobb is going to be the next great quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's why he drafted him in the second round. If you don't have confidence in this guy, then you shouldn't have traded Donovan McNabb. And this is another way of saying, this is our quarterback of the future. Because you don't trade Donovan McNabb, you don't get rid of all the weapons that you did, and then just say, okay, well, we're going to see if this works, because otherwise, you know, whatever, we'll go to Mike Vick, who hasn't proved anything since he came back in the league.
Well,
never was, in my opinion, a starting quarterback.
Interesting thing with the NFL draft for the Philadelphia Eagles, because in the 4th round, they took quarterback Mike Kafka out of Northwestern. Now, Kafka is a guy who battled injury last season, but I like this guy. I mean, behind Kevin Cobb now, behind Michael Vick, you have Mike Kafka. This guy, no one knows of because he played at Northwestern, but when Northwestern played against Penn State in Northwestern Stadium, Kafka was tearing Penn State up.
I remember that game.
It was really the one quarterback that pretty much was taking care of the Penn State secondary, throwing darts down the field. Kafka got injured, went out, and Penn State went on to win that game. But Kafka played in the bowl game in, I think, January 1st. I forget who he played against, but that game went to overtime, and Northwestern ended up losing. But in that game, Kafka did a heck of a job, had an awesome performance, and they probably would have won that game had the head coach not called a trick play on a field goal at the 1 yard line on the final play of overtime. Ridiculous call. But Kafka, he might be a possible quarterback to watch out for going ahead if Kevin Cobb doesn't do a good job. I mean, yeah, you have Michael Vick there, but I don't see him staying around beyond the season. One thing while we're on the Eagles right now, the number 13 overall pick in the first round, they traded up to that pick, the Eagles did, to select Brandon Graham, the defensive end out of Michigan. It's an interesting defensive line, I guess, scenario when you look at Philadelphia, because in these past 3 or 4 seasons, they've been known to have a solid defensive line. Now, I like the pick, but I don't agree with what they did in giving up to move up to that spot.
They only moved up. They only gave up what 2 third-round draft picks.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah. No, I understand. I understand what you mean. But at the same time, they also needed a safety, and you pass on Earl Thomas. A lot of people, and this is just going to happen because this is what people do. They compare him to Brian Dawkins. So you give up a Brian Dawkins for a guy who could be a Javon Curse. You know. So and I believe that. I've always firmly believed that if you sack the quarterback, your secondary doesn't need to do anything. Obviously, they don't need to be as good. So putting him as opposite Trent Cole, and, I mean, look at the amount of defensive ends.
They took 13 players, and they had 13 picks, like, total in this draft. That's insane. And the one player that I like in the second round, they got, number 37 overall, was Nate Allen, the free safety out of South Florida. That's a secondary that's kind of in rebuilding mode. Yeah, they traded for, from the Patriots. Who was that 2 years ago that they got? The defensive back. I can't think of his name either.
Asante
Samuel. And then they got rid of a couple of veterans there in the backfield. And it's proven to hurt them. Andy Reid has recognized that. This is a good pickup in the second round. What were you going to say there before I cut you off?
Well, I was just going to say, they also, not only did they draft Brandon Graham as their first pick, they took 3 defensive ends. And a guy like Ricky Sapp getting him in the 5th round, that's a guy with first round or second round talent. So that's a great depth pick right there. You imagine you have to expect Brandon Graham is going to come in immediately and play opposite Trent Cole, but Ricky Sapp can come in at any point in the game and just go after the passer.
The passer.
They also got Daniel Teonishim in the third round, a guy from Washington who, I'll admit to you, I'd never heard of him. So they really, really wanted to get their defensive ends set for the future. They also trade for Darrell Tapp in the offseason. Now they've got, if I can count, which I'm a broadcast journalism major, so we know I can't count.
Yeah,
I believe
you can
that's
do,
five.
You can do good pronunciation, as we just heard, so you make up for the Teo-Nisham.
Yeah. Oh, Daniel Teo-Nisham. Yeah. But then I came back and said, well, they got to get to the Patha.
Oh, that's true.
Anyway, that leaves them with five defensive ends. I think they're somehow they're channeling the inner New York Giants, and they're just gonna put like nine defensive ends out on the field and say, all right, go get the quarterback.
I wonder if the Redskins, the Eagles traded Donovan McNabb to the Redskins within the division.
Right.
Now, we know defensive end O.C. Umenyora is on the trading block from the New York Giants. I wonder if Andy Reid is possibly considering it.
You know, just with the moves they made, I don't think so.
No, I don't.
You really, that would be ridiculous. That would just make no sense.
Moving from the offense to the defensive side, safety Darren Sharper this week visiting with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Miami Dolphins. Apparently, he might be visiting the Dallas Cowboys as well. And apparently also running back Brian Westbrook, who was still on the market, was let go from the Eagles. He met with the St. Louis Rams. Now, these are two guys who are I can't talk either. It's affecting, I guess the bug is getting over to me now. But these are former Pro Bowl players, and they're both on the market. Now, I like Darren Sharper, obviously, better than Brian Westbrook. Westbrook's been injured. He has concussion problems. Sharper's coming off a Pro Bowl season.
Best year of his career.
Does he deserve that big-time contract, being that he's in his upper 30s?
I think he's looking for a 1 or 2 year deal, just like he got from the Saints this year. The only difference is, instead of being in a $1 million deal, it's going to be like a $5 million deal. Because this guy proved that in the right system, he is still an amazing talent, and I agree with you. Brian Westbrook, I don't think he's washed up. I think he just had, like, whenever you get a concussion, that's a very serious injury.
Yeah.
And I hope the NFL still, they've been looking into concussion tests and different things for treating concussions. I really hope Brian Westbrook goes back to original form, but I don't think he's done yet. But Darren Sharper, I don't think the Jags are a good fit.
No.
The Dolphins, I don't think so either. I think he needs to go into a Tampa 2 system. Maybe Minnesota. Maybe we're missing something. Maybe he could go back to Minnesota. If he went back to the Saints, I feel like that's the best fit. But at the same time, money is always going to be the determining factor. I remember when we talked to Marcellus Wiley last year. He said, it comes down to money, and who's going to give him the most money? It could be the Cowboys.
Obviously, and one of the teams that you mentioned there, he did visit with Jacksonville. I don't agree that would be a good fit either. Obviously, we talked about a few segments ago, they selected a number 10 overall pick, Jason Alualu, defensive tackle, probably maybe the 6th or 7th best D-tackle in the draft. Not a good choice there, but the Jacksonville Jaguars also earlier this week released 2-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle John Henderson on Monday, opening up that starting spot for Lualu. But the team also, during this offseason, has released defensive tackle Montavious Stanley, linebackers Brian Iwu and Tank Daniels, and it withdrew its qualifying offer to linebacker Clint Ingram. So though this is, I guess, a franchise that's really in a rebuilding mode, I just wanted to touch on that because it was in the news this week. Jack Del Rio, the head coach of Jacksonville, this has to be his last chance. But it's going to be hard for a team that's in rebuilding mode. I mean, you look at him and John Fox down in Carolina. These are two guys that, I guess, are in their final years improving themselves, but they have teams that are in rebuilding. I just don't see why John Fox and Jack Del Rio will be fired already. Just bring new head coaches or new management in and start all over, because that's what you're doing with the team, and these guys haven't proven that they can get it done with a quality team in front of them. Now, moving from that, I know other news in the week that we want to touch on as our last point here in this segment. The Carolina Panthers and the Chicago Bears swapped players this week. The Carolina Panthers traded starting strong safety Chris Harris to the Chicago Bears on Tuesday. And in return, they gave up linebacker Jamar Williams in the deal. Should we make any news of this or no? Because these are two guys that I didn't know of before this trade happened.
What's the safety's name again?
Starting strong safety, Chris Harris.
Chris Harris, yeah. That's who I thought it was. Harris is a good starting safety, but at the same time, that defense in Chicago, it could go either way. You have Julius Peppers now. You're trying to bring him some help in the secondary, you know, in case he can't tackle the quarterback every single play. So, yeah, I guess Chris Harris is a good player in a good system. I'm not sure that this is not Champ Bailey for Clinton Portis in 2004.
Well,
let's put it that way.
The thing that's interesting here, obviously Jay Cutler is there, the head coach Marvin Lewis, correct? I think so, at Chicago.
Oh, Lovie Smith.
Lovie Smith, exactly.
Marvin Lewis is in Cincinnati.
Yes, and Lovie Smith is a guy who also needs to prove himself. He has Jay Cutler there at quarterback. Now, Chicago,
the man's been to a Super Bowl,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, Chicago, bringing in Chris Harris, when Harris was last there 3 years ago, they had one of the best defenses in the league, along with Brian Urlacher. Remember, there was, I guess, a point in the season 3 seasons ago where the Chicago Bears, their defense didn't give up a touchdown for like 7 straight games or something like that. Chris Harris was a part of that run, so maybe they're trying to get back to that. Now, Chicago's a team now, I guess they've got rid of Jake Delhomme, Brad Hoover, Mohsen Muhammad, Damian Lewis, Maiki Kamuatu, and Niall Diggs as starters. They've all moved on, so maybe... Oh, I'm talking about Carolina. I apologize. But Carolina's a team that is moving on. Chicago's a team that is really trying to rebuild their defense and maybe make a run at it in that NFC North division. So that'll be it for all of the news from around the league. There was a lot of stuff going on with the draft, a lot of stuff in the news. So we covered all that stuff. But when we get back, we will take a year in review, a look back at the best moments in the Red Zone from the 2009-2010 year. Stay tuned for that. It's the Red Zone on Comm Radio.
You're listening to The Red Zone on Comm Radio. Now back to your two hosts, John Walk and Thomas Frank Carr.
Welcome back to the most sentimental show on Comm Radio for the day. John has put together a compilation of different pieces and things that have happened on this show over the past year. So without further ado, we have the Comm Radio Year in Review.
To the 5, to the goal line, spinning, did he get there? He did. It is ruled a touchdown.
Now you know why the Jets players have fallen in love with Mark Sanchez.
Snap, placement, kick on the way.
The Cleveland Browns apparently have another quarterback controversy for, what is it now, 2 or 3 seasons in a row with Derek Anderson and Brady Quinn back there.
It's a quarterback controversy. How much fun are these? These are awesome. We have controversy, we have intrigue, and we may have a snack break if you all are, you know, if you all behave yourself, we might stop for snacks. I'm not promising anything, I'm just saying, if you're good, we might get crackers.
And yes, folks, I know, Halloween hasn't even gotten here, being that it's snowing outside, freezing cold out.
Welcome to the Red Zone. I know you may be a bit confused in saying to your computer, hey guys, what's up with the Christmas song? Well, it's snowing here in State College, PA, so today is the first ever Christmas-themed Red Zone here on Comm Radio. I am the Chris Kringle of this show, Thomas Frank Carr, and beside me is the star of this hour, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer of the Red Zone, John Walk.
Coming to get you.
You may think you're hiding from me, but I know where you are. You're in the Red Zone on Comm Radio.
My eyes beheld an eerie sight. He did the
welcome to the pink. Sorry, welcome to the Halloween flavored edition of the Red Zone. Who are you gonna call? Hopefully the Red Zone. We are now into our Halloween party. We have a great list of guests. Our first guest is Superman. That is Adrian Peterson. There is nothing in this league that is his kryptonite.
Percy Harvin. Yeah, I think this guy could dress up as the Flash today.
C is for Cookie. That's good enough for me. C is
but who is Cookie Monster? It's none other than Mark Sanchez. Last weekend, the Raiders were killed by the Jets. and Mark Sanchez sneaks a hot dog onto the sideline.
Who is your traveling circus this week in the NFL?
The contestants are the Oakland Raiders, the Washington Redskins, the St. Louis Rams, the Cleveland Browns, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We would like, to make comparisons to who is the Batman and Robin of the league this season, who is the best quarterback and wide receiver combination. We have Peyton, Eli, and Matt on the phone with us right now. And basically, guys, I want to ask you, who do you think is the Batman of this league?
I'm Batgirl.
Adrian Peterson, because that's right, over the weekend, last Saturday, he was pulled over speeding at 105 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. So maybe he's trying to make his case for the fastest running back in the league.
Pete Carroll left USC. He has now agreed to be the GM and head coach of the Seattle Seahawks.
15 on his feet, 10, 5, touchdown, Pierre Thomas!
And for the second time in 4 years, the Colts are headed to the Super Bowl.
Tony Frost knocks today. Oh, we got a chance to be at the top of this division today. Let's go out here and show these people our confidence and our swagger today. When I say who are we, you say Saints. When I say are we ready, you say how. Who are we, Saints? Who are we, Saints?
The Danian Tomlinson apparently has come out and said that he will not take a pay cut to stay with the San Diego Chargers.
The overtime changes, and it has to do with the playoffs. It seems so complicated. If a team goes up, kicks a field goal, do they get a possession? If the first team scores a touchdown, then the game's over. I like it, but only in the playoffs.
Why don't we just play an extra inning? Period. quarter. Do you call it a quarter if there's a fifth one? Because, you know, there's four, and that makes four quarters. And if there's a fifth, is it still a quarter?
You know, when I was your age, I had to walk 20 miles just to get to school.
Seattle recently traded for the Chargers' backup quarterback, Charlie Whitehurst.
I did not know who Charlie Whitehurst was until this story came about.
This could make or break the job for Pete Carroll as the new Seattle Seahawks head coach. We are joined on the phone with Tim Etheridge. He writes for the Evansville Courier and Press. He covers the Colts. He's been doing it for years. We have Eric Edholm, ProFootballWeekly.com. Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com. Pat Yasinskas, he is the NFC South blogger of ESPN.com. Matt Barrows, who is the 49ers beat writer for the Sacramento Bee. We'll also talk with Shiel Capadia, who is the producer for Philly.com. And we bring in Ken Lavica, who covers the Dolphins for ESPN 760 down in West Palm Beach, Florida. Mike Byers, he is the sports writer covering the Steelers for the Beaver County Times. News out of Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger and the sexual assault case.
Well, I would tell him to grow up. When this thing broke a few weeks ago, obviously it was a big deal back here in Pittsburgh. Steelers are very concerned.
Andy Reid, the Eagles head coach, came out yesterday and said, we're looking at offers, we're listening to offers for any of our quarterbacks, whether that be Donovan McNabb, Kevin Cobb, or Michael Vick.
Kevin Cobb may be good. He may be a Pro Bowler sometime. But until you know that he's going to be a Pro Bowler, you have to say they're worse off. Unless they get their doors blown off and they get, like, a ridiculous trade from some team. We have headlines. Donovan McNabb being traded to the Washington Redskins. Police blotter news from the NFL as Cleveland's own Sean Rogers was arrested today, at 12:15 p.m. after a loaded .45 caliber handgun was found by security officers in his carry-on bag as he was trying to board a plane.
Sean Rogers, D lineman for the Cincinnati Bengals, who last week walked
Cleveland Browns.
What did I say?
Cincinnati.
Like, I got the color team. The team
color. Same state, too, you know. Now, if you guys were paying attention, and you should have been because you should have been watching our show, we made a big deal about this. Sorry, listening to our show. Excuse me. You can watch somehow. I just don't know how.
The St. Louis Rams earlier this week got rid of quarterback Mark Bolger. Now, St. Louis, what that means for them, they really don't have an experienced quarterback. They have the number one overall pick in this upcoming draft. Obviously, you got to expect them to take a quarterback with that first overall pick. Now, Patrick Kearney, he also announced his retirement. He's a two-time Pro Bowl selection. We have Santonio Holmes being traded, Ben Roethlisberger and the scandal around him. Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver from Denver, now traded to Miami and recently signed to a new four-year deal. It's going to be $47.5 million contract extension. We have Sam Bradford being taken first overall by the St. Louis Rams. The Denver Broncos have traded three draft picks to move up to number 26 overall to select quarterback Tim Tebow out of Florida. He's the chosen one, so now that means Denver head coach Josh McDaniels has traded away Jay Cutler, led his team to 8-8 overall season, traded away Brandon Marshall, and now traded away three picks to get Tim Tebow, apparently the quarterback of the future in Denver.
And that was the Red Zone, a year in review. And John, it's been a fun year for me. I know you've had a good time. We were just talking. I know you're going to miss this. What has your experience been like in the little under 2 years that we've been doing the show together?
Honestly, when I look back on it, when we started to the point we're at now, obviously grown a ton. I'm going to miss it so much. I've been thinking over the past couple weeks, man, I'm going to miss it. I wish, like, yeah, I'm graduating, but I was telling a couple buddies the other day, I wish I could just come back here once or maybe once every other week just to record a show, get my name out there, and just do this over again for the fun of it. Not because I want to be on radio, but just because I like to be on here. But I know you're going to handle this great. The Red Zone is going to be much improved. Apparently, I guess you're holding interviews over the summer as to who will be the Red Zone co-host alongside you. So have you developed any type of questions for that yet?
No, it's just going to have to be a feel thing.
Are you going to ask anybody about their moms or anything?
I might ask some people if their mother was a prostitute. I also might ask if they're any good at baking cake, because I feel like adding cake to the show would only make it better.
It would.
I want to share a quick story. It's amazing, and this is the type of the point in the show. I'm usually the one that says goofy things and, you know, goes off on tangents about the Bills, but I want to get serious for a second. It's so crazy how little things affect the course of your life. And I remember back my freshman year, I went to the initial Comm Radio show introduction, and where they explained what you can do on Comm Radio. And I said I wanted to have a show. So they gave me a list of people who were new, who just got to Penn State, and said, why don't two of you get together and make a show? So I said, okay. So I sent out an email, and I got a couple responses, and I interviewed a couple people. And then one day, John here says, hey, man, I'm a big fan of the NFL. I'd like to do a show with you. I go outside Willard, and I sit down, and he comes over and sits down next to me. And immediately, I knew this was the guy I was going to work with for the next 2 years. And I could not have asked for a better co-host. I could not have asked for a better human being to work alongside. Most of you people out there don't know a whole lot about us individually, but John is the hardest working, most industrious guy I've ever met. He has turned this station on its head with his work ethic and how much he contributes, not only to this show, but to our sports staff in general. This is a huge loss for anyone around Comm Radio, John. Your life is moving on. You're getting married soon. He proposed to his girlfriend, I believe it was in December, right? It was this winter.
Yes.
He's graduating, going to be getting a job here. I wish you nothing but the best. You have such a bright future ahead of you, and I cannot thank you enough for what you've done for me and this show that we have together. So thank you. A round of applause for John Walk.
Woo! Do we have an applause sound effect? I swear we had one on here. Let me
just play the Brett Favre one again.
Play the Brett Favre one.
Brett Favre is an unbelievable player. I mean, you know the great gods, you know, he's one step above that. I mean, you could clone Brett Favre and put him
just
in all the positions
John Walk
on the field, and then you played
this
against another team of clone Brett.
All right, but no, those were very kind words, my friend. I appreciate you saying that. But Comm Radio going forward, new sports director, Thomas Francoeur. That's right, I may be leaving. I may be at a loss of words at this point, but I'm sure the future of Comm Radio and the future of the Red Zone is going to do nothing but improve from this point, as TFC is going to be the head man alongside a couple other guys in running Comm Radio. T. Frank, I wish you the best of luck, and I'm telling all our listeners out there, make sure you tune in starting, I guess, the end of August, early September of 2010 for the next Red Zone on Comm Radio. We are on a 4-month break For Thomas Frank Carr, I am John Walk. We appreciate you guys listening. Again, this was the final show of the original version of the Red Zone right here on Comm Radio.